Is anybody here? I walk awful quiet. I don't know. We're kind of leaning like this today, it looks like. You know, I'm glad we're not a boat. I'm glad you guys are here. It's so fun. This morning I was opening the back door and the little girl comes in with a great big smile on her. That's what church is all about. You know, to see this little girl with this great big smile just here to have a great day. And I see smiles on your face. It's so much fun. But I got a hard message this morning, all right? It's going to be kind of rough this morning as we look at this morning's message. We're doing this series. We're in that third message on the series of God Never Said That. And if you remember, if you weren't here, our first message, we kind of looked at God never said he just wants you to be happy. That there's more to life than this, okay? And there's a blessed life that God wants you to experience. And last week we looked at God never said you're not going to get more than you can handle. And I think that's a reality for some of us this morning. We're awful close to more than we can handle this morning. At least I am this morning. You know, it's one of those things. And next week, next week's the most important message in this series. It's probably the most dangerous God didn't say message. Because many people believe it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Just as long as you're, it doesn't matter what you believe. And well, God never said that either. So we're going to get there. But this morning I want to look at this. God never said, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt anyone. And so, this is going to be kind of rough because I'm going to talk about sin. Anybody like talking about sin? You like me calling you a bunch of sinners? You guys, you know, we're going to talk about that. But here's what I want to do this morning to kind of lighten the situation. I want you to take a look, glance over at the person on your right. Would you take a glance at the person on your right? All right. Now, the person on your left. All right. Now, turn around and look behind you. Just glance, see who's behind you. You know, look in front of you. Now, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And when I say 3, I want you to point out the one who is the biggest sinner. All right. Yeah, I want you, 1, 2, 3. All right. I see a lot of people waving their hands at themselves. Our society, we really get into this thing about sin. We can't call anybody a sinner. We can't say what you're doing is wrong. I can't say, well, that's a wrong decision. You shouldn't be doing that. That's a poor choice. We can't say that in today's world. We've changed the definition of tolerance. Tolerance for me was a way that says, well, you know, I'm going to love you in spite of. I'm going to tolerate you to accept you, but I'm not going to approve of you. And today what we have done is we've changed tolerance to mean not only do I have to accept you, but I got to approve of what you do. I can't say that's wrong because what's right for me may be right for me, but it might be wrong for you. And what's wrong for you, we get into this discussion about how we look at life, and that's nothing. As long as you don't hurt anybody, everything's okay. Isn't that where our society is? You know, it doesn't matter what you do. Just don't hurt anybody. You know, there's this victimless crime. There's this, you know, nobody's a victim. It doesn't hurt anybody, so I can do this. And we've kind of wrapped up all this idea, but God never said that. And we're tweaking things, and we're trying to make words sound better today. You know, today we, you know, to kind of, well, I didn't have, now, just so you know, I haven't done this, all right? Somebody commits it, don't call it adultery. They didn't have adultery, they had an affair. See, when I grew up, I mean, anybody read that classic book with the big A? Anybody remember that classic book with the big red A? Some of you kids probably need to read a classic writing, the big A for adult. Anybody remember that book? Nowadays, we can't say that's adultery. They had an affair. I'm not into pornography. I'm not into that. I'm into adult entertainment. You know, adult entertainment. It's not premarital sex. Now, we're just fooling. See, you guys know this. See, we've watered down sin. We can't say anybody's a sinner. We can't cross that bridge and can't point these fingers. And because if we do that, who gives you the right? Who said you can make that choice? It's right for me. And we live in this world that does that. I like what Paul here, as he writes Timothy. Look at what he says, Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 3. A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Does that sound like society today? Does that sound like when you walk out into our world? You know, whatever you do is okay. Just don't hurt anybody. Just don't bother anybody. It's you. You can never. And we run into this situation. But I'm going to tell you, it creates a real problem. It creates some major issues because God never said that. See, I want to tell you something. There are some consequences to our behavior. Would anybody agree with that? That our behavior has some earthly consequences and some eternal consequences. And we need to see this picture here. And we need to hear this. So there's a misbelief. So I'm going to talk about sin for a few moments, okay? I want to kind of think about sin. Now, I want to begin with this statement right here. If you have your outline, I'm going to encourage you to get it out. Fill this out. Because it says this. I am not a bad person. All right? I am practically perfect in every way. All right? I'm not that bad of a person. You know, I didn't do anything that bad. And I'm not a person. I had this conversation just a few months ago, a couple of weeks ago, you know, 6-7 weeks ago, with this individual. Because we were talking about, I think people by nature are bad. All right, now you might have a different opinion, but I'm going to say your opinion is wrong. Like I said, it's going to be a hard message, okay? Because I'm going to tell you there's some things right and there's some things wrong. See, I believe we're born with a nature of sin. But we don't like the word sin, so I'm going to say I'm a mistaker. Be a mistaker. You know? Because we don't like this word sin. We try to water everything down. But I believe we're born with this nature. And I was talking to this individual, and I was describing this. And he says, no, we're not. He felt the basic people were basically good. The people are basically nice. And I said, you take a little boy, you know, you take a little boy, and there's an anthill. Right there's an anthill. What's that little boy going to do? He's going to go over there and stomp on those ants. How many of us used to say that had knobs on? Anybody remember TVs with knobs? You know, and you'd be sitting there, you'd tell your kid, don't touch those knobs, right? What did the kid do? First thing. Yeah. How many ever watched a kid take something and stick in a light a plug? Yeah. We have this nature to do wrong. You know, so I got bad news. Bad news is we're bad people. You're bad. I'm bad. We're bad. But we don't like hearing that in today's world. We don't like talking about things being bad. I like what it says here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Listen to what it says. If we say that we have not sinned, we are fooling everyone. And the truth isn't in our hearts. Did I read that right? If I say I'm not a sinner, who am I fooling? Just myself. Too many people know me. Too many of you know who I am. I say I'm practically perfect. You guys all laugh because you know. You know, I want to be like Mary Poppins, you know. But no, we have this nature in us. I like some of the translations that says it's deceptive. We're just deceiving ourselves. And we, you know, but it's easy to do that because you know what? I'm not that bad. Look at what so-and-so's doing. They're worse than me. I've never done that. See, I'm not that bad. I'm really not a bad person. I'm basically a good person, but sometimes I make bad decisions. Does that sound good? Is that kind of where our world is today? As we wrestle with this, there's just nothing bad. There's nothing you can do. It's, you know, well, we're just mistakers. You know, I just fouled up. And we live in our world, but that's simply, it's not true. Look at God's word says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one. Does that include you? Does that include me? Well, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as, and we live our lives and we define our goodness by our definition. But then we see God. And there's something else in play, and there's something else at root. There was an evangelist, I think his name was Ray Crawford, I think is his name. I think he's from Australia or something. And he used to go around and he'd ask people these simple questions. Have you ever told a lie? Anybody ever told a lie? If you tell a lie, what are you? How many times do you have to tell a lie to be a liar? Just one? Then I guess I messed up. You know? Have you ever taken anything that doesn't belong to you? Have you ever, taken anything? It's hers, and it was just sitting there, and you picked it up. Anybody ever do anything like that? What do you call that? That's stealing. So we're a bunch of lying, stealing people. But we're good people, right? I'm a good guy. I didn't do it very much. Matter of fact, my lie was a white lie, right? It wasn't a big lie. It was a little lie. And I only stole a dollar candy bar. I remember 25-cent candy bars. I only stole a dollar candy bar. And how do we see ourselves? I had that conversation, and it really surprised me. Here's a young man, the millennial generation, that younger generation. And to have the conversation where they're looking at life, and it's like, I'm not bad. My nature is not bad. I'm not a bad person. See, because we're living in this world, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, it's okay. As long as I don't hurt anybody, it's okay. But I want to tell you, it's not. God never said that. God never said, it's okay, do whatever you want, just don't hurt anybody. It's not what he said. And so, reality is, I got bad news. You're a bad person, okay? You're bad, I'm bad, we're all bad. Let's go have a bad day. Anybody? Sin, will sin give you a bad day? Anybody ever been caught in that trap? But not only do we have bad, the second thing I put down here is this. And I think this one's really seen in today's world. All sin is the same. All sin is the same. It doesn't matter. It's all the same sin. What you did, what I did, yours might have been smaller than mine, but it doesn't matter. It's still sin. Now I want to make sure you understand something. All sin, wait, let me get this right. All unforgiven sin has eternal consequences, right? It's death. All right? All sin, all unforgiven sin. But not all sin is the same. All right? Not all sin has the same consequences. There's different, all sin is level, but it's not. I was thinking about this as I was writing the message. You know how things keep coming up and haunting you? Anybody have haunting sins? Anybody get haunting sins? You just can't seem to shake. One day I took our kids to church camp up at Jeunesse Park, up in the mountains past Sonora. I took our kids. And coming home, some of you have heard me talk about this story. Coming home, there was a car in front of me that was creeping down the hill. That's not good. All right. I mean, let's go. There's no reason to go this slow, all right? I've got to get back down the hill. I got things to do. Anybody? I'm busy. Let's go. And so I do what you do. I tailgating. Right? Now, I ride his bumper. All right? Now, I don't run into him. I just drive real close to him so that if he looks in his mirror, I got to either move or get over. I got to go or get over. That's kind of a silent hint. Anybody ever do that? All right, now we finally get to a road, and you're coming down. Now, that's when they didn't have crossing lanes up there on that 108, okay? So I finally get to 108. Now, is that sin? Let me ask you, is that sin? Come on now. Riding that guy's bumper, is that sin? Somebody tell me. Yes, it's sin. All right. That is sin. All right, my attitude's bad. It's called anger. It's sin. Now, I'll finish the story in a minute, but just so you know, I go to pass the guy, and guess what? Another pastor. I'm gone. I hope he doesn't know me. I even went faster after I got by him. It's like, Fortunately, I was young. He was old. Now, I'd probably be the slow guy going down, But let's say I get by him, and then I brake check him, right? Come on now. You guys don't act so innocent. We're all bad, remember? You know, and I get by him and I break checking. Sin? Yes. Now there's consequences to that action. You know? But now let's say when I break check him, he loses control, crashes his car. Is that sin? Now, different level of sin? Is all sin the same? I mean, you know, it's like my anger got the best of me, and then I got by him, and I wouldn't let it go, so that anger even festered more, and then I caused this guy to have a car accident. Is there different levels of sin? See, we like, sin's all the same, but no, sin is not all the same. You know, sin has levels. It's, you know, in our law, we have levels. We have misdemeanors, and we have felonies. See, you guys know some of the laws. We have these things in our lives, and we need to understand that all sin isn't the same. All unforgiven sin leads to death. But there's different consequences of sin. Look at what it says here. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. All wages of sin is death. Have you ever seen, I'm going to use the word trap. Trapped in sin. Imprisoned by sin, and literally they're alive, but inside they're dead. You know, that scripture is really true. That you know, I might be breathing, you know, my heart might be beating, but sin can kill me emotionally. Sin can kill me feelings-wise. Sin can kill me in my spirit. Am I right? And so that scripture is telling the truth here. Now, all sin, unforgiven sin, is death. It causes that. But God has grace for us, and God has mercy for us. And so I wanted to write this down, how sin does. There's consequences on earth to sin. There are consequences on earth to sin. See, all separates us from God. And when we walk this earth, there's some consequences to that. Big consequences, little consequences. It depends on what we've done. Misdemeanors, felonies. It depends on what you do. If you steal less than $200, if you do this, if you've done that. And we have this. But there's always consequences. Now, when God forgives you, does he take away the consequences? Anybody here? When God forgives you, does he take away the consequences? No. There are earthly consequences to the sin. And there's different levels of that. There's different responsibilities in that. Like I said, I'm riding that guy's bumper. I can get a ticket for riding that guy's bumper, right? Can you get a ticket for driving too close? I think you can. Yeah, I can get a ticket for that. But if I run him off the road, brake checking him, that's a whole nother story. See, there's consequences, and it's different. So there's consequences to our sin. It does matter what you do. How we behave makes a difference to our lives here on earth. There's regrets. Anybody got regrets? Anybody carry guilt? Anybody have remorse? There's consequences to our sin. And sometimes consequences go on for years and years. They just hang in there. They, you know, God's forgiven us. We put our life back together. Anybody been haunted by memories? See, sin does have death at its soul. But not only does sin have death. Now, this next point, I put it this way. The punishment in hell. Now, there's not a lot on this in the Bible, okay? Now, I'm going to say, I don't quite got it. I didn't know how to wrap my hands around this. But I wanted to make sure I painted a picture. That it looks like as I read God's word, there's levels in hell. All right? Now, I'm not sure how this plays out, but as reading God's word, well, here's a couple of verses. Look at this one. I skipped that verse, didn't I? Show no pity. You guys can see that. Show no pity. That's the earth one. You know, punishment fits the crime. Now, this one. But they are the Pharisees, but they cheat widows and steal their homes. and they tried to make themselves look good by saying long prayers, they will receive greater punishment. I'm not sure how this plays out, but as I read God's word, there seems to be greater punishment. I don't know. I've never forgot this. When I was I hadn't been a Christian very long, a year ago, and I was working at a movie theater, and my boss was talking, and they all knew I was a Christian because I wouldn't work Sunday mornings until such and such a time, and I had stuff like that as I worked there. And he goes, I don't mind going to hell. I mean, this was his comment to me. I don't mind going to hell. They don't shovel coal no more, and it's all just turning gas knobs. And I'm just going, he has no comprehension of the turmoil and the power of the suffering of death. So I'm not quite sure how this plays out, but here God's saying, you know, that hypocrisy, there's a greater punishment. Jesus hung on the cross, and when he was on trial, and that went on, he talked about somebody who would have greater responsibility for betraying him. Who was that? Anybody remember Judas? When Judas betrayed him, he said there's going to be greater consequences. So I don't quite understand that. But I see that in God's word. Not all sin is the same. All right? It's not the same. There are consequences. You're going to have consequences here on earth, and there are some eternal consequences to our behavior that we need to pay attention to. And here Paul has this great conversation as he's writing to the church in Corinth. Listen to what he says here. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. He says, this one's different. It's not the same. It's different. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. He said, this one's different. It's not the same. There's something different about this one. See, they're not all the same. All sin isn't the same. It doesn't matter what you do. Just don't hurt anybody. It doesn't play out with God. It doesn't work that way. And what's interesting about this one, you know, you read Paul and you read this, and a lot of times he tells, fight the good fight. Anybody read those in the Bible? Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Fight against sin. What does he say about sexual sin? Anybody see that word there? The very first word there? What does it say? What? Run! Run, Forrest, run! Run! Don't fight. I'm going to tell you, sexual sin is different. It's not the same. Run! Don't fight this one. I'm going to fight the good fight here. No, run! Run! Flee! Get away! There's some sins you can fight, but there's some you got to run from. They're different. All sin isn't the same, and there's always consequences. We look around our world today, and maybe you've ever thought about this. I shouldn't say, but I know I have. Well, I got away with it this time. Anybody? You know, I slid through. Nobody seen me. Nobody caught me. We try to do that. See, God never said that. It doesn't matter what you do. Just don't hurt anybody. We're all bad. I'm bad, you're bad, we're bad. We do bad things. Now, we like to say, well, I made a mistake. I did something stupid. Anybody ever say that? Now, I'm not stupid, but I've done stupid things. We're bad. But it's not all the same. There's consequences. And there's levels, and there's felonies and misdemeanors. There's greater judgment here, and there's eternal. See, it makes a difference. Sin, unforgiven sin, brings death. This last one, I think, is probably the one that gets most of us. And it kind of goes with the statement I said already. Let's look at this. Since I've already done it, I might as well keep on doing it, right? I've already done it. It's over. I can't change the past. So I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on doing it. You know, I've done drugs, and, you know, I just can't seem to happen. I'm trapped. I can't change. I'm just going to keep on. Pornography, you know, I got away with it. I had an affair. I got away with it. You know, I had adultery. I got away with it. I'm just going to, I'll do it again. It helped, and so I'll do it again. I'm not a virgin anymore. It doesn't matter now. I might as well just keep having sex with whoever because I can't change the past. You guys are quiet. Do we ever get this thing that, you know, well, I've done it already. I already dug the hole. I might as well keep digging. And we live like that. You know, we try to, you know, it's like, oh, man, I just forget it. I'm going to. But we need to kind of step back because it's not true. I like what Paul wrote to Romans. Now, I'm going to be serious. I love this verse, okay? I say I love a lot of it. I love the Bible, all right? But I like the way this verse says this. Listen to what it says. Well then, should we keep on sinning that God can show us more of his wonderful grace? I've already done it. I might as well do more. God's going to forgive me, right? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? I like this. Here's the premise of what he's saying here. There's two things to look at this verse. It's like this. God loves giving grace. You get grace when you sin. So guess what I need to do more of to get grace? I enjoy sinning. God enjoys giving grace. So I'm going to sin more so I get to have fun and I have fun, right? Doesn't that sound good? I've already done it. I might as well do it again. It doesn't matter. I'm not hurting anybody. You know, it's okay. You know, I'm not bothering you. You know, who do you think you are telling me? I know what you do. You know? And we live like, you know, it's like as long as nobody knows. As a matter of fact, I'll just keep on doing it. Nobody's going to know. God's going to forgive me anyway, right? Come on. God's going to forgive me. So I'll just go ahead and do it. Can you ask? Here's a question I've been asked. Can I ask for forgiveness before I do it? I have been asked that question. Can I ask for forgiveness before I do it? You know, it's like, I don't think so. You know. I like the verse, and just so you know, I chose this translation because I like this. Says, of course not. You know, it used to be common sense. Does anybody have common sense anymore? Huh? Yeah. We look at this, and it's kind of like, duh. You know, yeah, God loves giving grace. I sin, I get more grace. I'll just be happy. I'll be happy. We'll have a good old time in this world. Does that even make sense? Of course not. Of course not. Since we have what? Died to sin. Here's the key. Let me tell you. You notice this. Either sin will kill you or you will die to it. Which one? Think about that. Either sin will cause you death or you will die to sin. If I'm dead to sin, guess what I don't want to do? I don't want to sin. Anybody ever wrestle with that? I like Paul in his letter. I think it's the 7th chapter of Romans. Go. You want to read it? Go home, and I think it starts down in somewhere in the 20th verses when Paul gets into this debate with himself. Why do I do what I do not want to do? And why he gets into this? I get confused with all the I's, so get a good translation when you read it. Because he's wrestling with, why do I do what I do not want to do? And what I do want to do, I do not do. See, I'm confusing you with all the I's. Yeah. We get into this back ourselves here. God's going to free. You know, we'll justify it. Well, my wife wasn't meeting my needs. The drugs make me feel good. I'm not even talking about legal drugs, illegal. But what about prescription drugs nowadays? The abuse of those. It was just getting rid of the pain. And we get in all of these things, you know. And then who are you to judge me? What gives you the right, you know, it's sin and you're a sinner and we're both sinners, so just forget it. I'll do my thing, you do your thing. Here's what I want you to know. I think the most miserable people in the world today are not the non-Christians, because they're not miserable. I think it's the Christians. I think it's us, because we don't want to do that. And then when we start doing it, guess what we do? We feel miserable. We don't like ourselves. I know I didn't want to do that. Why did I do that? And then we feel, see, we're the ones that have to fight that fight. We're the ones that have to deal with that. And I think that's who we are as Christians, and we fight these issues, and we fight all this stuff. But see, God never said that. I'm gonna do it anyway. I might as well go ahead and do it. And I'll just keep on doing it. I'm trapped. I can't. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't do anything about it. It's all I have. But see, here's what I want to make sure you understand. There's some good news, okay? There's good news. It doesn't. We don't have to be trapped by sin. We don't have to be pinned in by sin. We don't have to have this attitude that I can't do anything. There's nothing else I can do. Because there is something. Because here's what I put. I want you to write this here. When you see yourself as a sinner, you'll see a need for a Savior. I talked to that young man about bad, that all people are bad, that our nature is bad. And I couldn't figure out why I see that and he didn't. Why I understand that there's evil in our world and that there's this nature in us that is not always good, that is bad. And then I realized, until you see yourself as a sinner, you don't need a Savior. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not really doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything that hurts anybody. So why do I need a Savior? Because I'm not a bad person. It really dawned on me as I was writing this message. Just honestly, I never thought about it until I was working on this message. That conversation I was having with this young man goes back to this problem. That as long as I'm not hurting anybody, I can do whatever I want. I'm not a bad person because nothing's... Yeah, murder's bad, but I don't do that. But outside of that, everything's okay. I'm just not bothering anybody. See, until you realize the power of sin and what sin does in our lives, you don't need a Savior. See, as Christians, we cross that invisible line, and those who've been with me with years know, hear me, a Christian isn't, well, I shook the preacher's hand, you know, or I was baptized as a baby, and I'm trying to do everything right, I'm trying to be a good person. Those don't make you a Christian, but there's an invisible line. And you reach a point in life where you say, you know, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. We call that sin. And I want to do things your way, God, and come to my life and take control. And we cross that line. When we cross that line, we become in a relationship with God. And in that relationship, God, the closer you get to God, the more you recognize the sin in your life. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? You know, I had some sin. Just kind of like right now. Let me put it in terms for me right now. When I became a Christian, there's things I had to turn from, okay? I had to change when I became a Christian. Lots of things I had to change. Foul language, lust, things I had to change. Now my battle is not foul language. You know what my battle is today? It's called attitude. Anybody battle attitude? Can attitude be a sin? I have attitude. Anybody, you know, my problem is not some of these other foul language, having an affair, committing adultery. My problem is not that. My problem is anger. Anybody got an anger issue? See, the closer I get to God, you know, I knew what I had to deal with. I've shared this story with you. I remember when I decided not to say bad words. Now, I was raised, and we dragged to church, and we got only to tell our parents I didn't want to go. We didn't want to go. We didn't have to go. 12 years old, we just kind of quit going to church. Knew how to use those words and string those foul words together well. I was good at it. All right? I was good at those terms. We had friends I'd make fun of because they didn't know how to say a bad word. I was teaching them how to speak bad. Come on, you guys are acting so innocent out there. And I mean, I knew, but I can remember when I became a Christian, I started going to church and got involved in the church, and I crossed that invisible line. I have this vivid picture in my mind. I'm in the backyard of my house growing up, 17 years old. And all of a sudden, I'm in that backyard, and I don't know if I hit my thumb. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, some foul language was about ready to come out. And I just, at that point, it was like, I don't want to say that anymore. I don't know why. I don't know how it happened, but all of a sudden I'm in that backyard, and it's still burned in my mind, that turning point. Now, I'm not going to say I've never said a foul word since then, that I work hard not, that my problem is not foul language. You know, my biggest problem is, get me behind the steering wheel of a car. In anger. See, the closer you get to God, you know, it's easy to chalk up some of those big ones. You know, foul language, man, I can chuck that away pretty good. But how do you chuck away anger? How do you chuck away attitude? You know, the closer you get to God, the more you realize, I'm bad. See, the reason the guy that I was talking with, that young man I was talking to, no problem saying he's a good guy is because he didn't see God. He had no relationship with God. But when you have a relationship with God, all of a sudden you know there's something in you that says, this ain't right. Anybody wrestle with that? I don't want to do that no more. That's not where I want to be anymore. Now that's hard. And it's a fight, and it's not easy. But that's what God says. It says here in Mark, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Those who are sick do. I've come to call sinners, not people who think they don't have any flaws. I like the way that translation wrote that. They don't think they have any flaws. Maybe you come here this morning thinking, I don't have many flaws. You might not. But I'm going to tell you, if you start getting close to Jesus, you're going to find something. You know, anybody ever walk into a room and it's pitch dark? You got to try to come in the church in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day here, and this place is all shut down. You know how many times I run into the chairs in here, trying to get to the light switch? Yeah. It's easy to, it's no problem. I didn't see any chairs. I knew they were there, but I didn't see them. It's when you turn the light on. That's the way it isn't. When you turn the light on with Jesus Christ, guess what you start seeing? You start seeing the things you don't like, the things you don't want. Am I right? You guys are quiet. We're bad. You're bad. I'm bad. We're all bad. Now, it's not okay to be bad. All sin is the same. No. No, it's not. Well, I'm going to do it. I might as well do it. I already did it. Let's just keep doing it. No, but when you start walking in the light, all of a sudden there's things that you just... Now, again, I want to make sure I said it earlier. There's sometimes you got to run. And there's sometimes to fight. And we got to see that. And last week we read this verse, and I want to bring it back to you this week, because this is one that's misinterpreted for last week's message. Look at what it says. No temptation has overtaken you. Now, temptation, nothing trying to tempt you to sin. Nothing trying to get you to do the wrong thing. Except that is common to mankind. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Common to mankind. Anybody ever feel like nobody knows the woes I've got? Nobody knows my problems. You don't understand my temptation. You don't understand my situation. What did he say here? It's common to all. Everyone. I'm just so... Anybody? I know I'm different. I'm weird. Anybody? Yeah. But we're all alive. I mean, it's common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond that which you can bear. God's not going to let you be tempted beyond that which you can bear. Well, you tell me, I can't. Then you're calling God a liar. I'm going to ask you, does God ever lie? You guys ought to say no to that one real loud. No, God never. He's not going to let you get tempted. And here's the part that's really good. that when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. Why don't you circle that? I underlined it. He's going to give you a way out so that you can endure it. Now, there's some really important stuff in that. You know, as you look at that verse, he's going to give you a way out, but you got to what? Endure it. You got to get through it. There's an out. You got to get through. I walk in this room. It's dark. I walk in that door. I'm getting the garbage out of the room or doing something. And I walk in the door and I run into that chair. I got to get out of here. Yeah. And so, you know, the chairs are right here. Let's see. Okay. Don't turn too soon. Anybody? We ever live our lives that way? There's always a way out, but sometimes we got to fight through it. Sometimes we got to run from it. That's what he's saying here. But God always gives way out. Always. There are some here this morning who've had some long battles. Some of you have had some very challenging times. And there's some issues you have fought your whole life. And you're still fighting today. Some things you're running from. Life just, it's there, and some of you are trapped. So you can't. You've tried. You've made changes. You've done this. You've done that. And you feel trapped. I just can't. And you feel trapped. That God says, there's always a way out. There's always a way out. I want to make sure you see that. Yeah, we're bad. None of us are going to be perfect. We can all be perfect, because practically perfect is not perfect, right? And all sin's not the same. Just because I did it doesn't mean I have to continue to do it. I can change. I've had people tell me they can't. But you can't. There's always a way out. I want to make sure you see that this morning, that there's good news as we fight these fights, as we battle these battles. You know, I'm getting better with my anger and with my drive, just so you know I am. I really do. It's so much fun now when I get in traffic, you know, coming back from the Bay. Come back from the Bay Area at 4 o'clock. Anybody? Let's go down 580, 4 o'clock, right through Dublin, okay? We're gonna go through Pleasanton and Dublin at 5:30. At 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, add 2 hours to your trip. I just get in a lane, and I'm just sitting there, just I'm going to be calm and just roll right along. I do pretty good with that. It's fun. Laura says, change lanes. I'm not going to change lanes. If I start changing lanes, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to start getting irritated. All right? So I'll give you a little hint. This is my discovery. When the traffic gets bad, get in the slow lane. Don't do it because you get in my way. But that's what I do. I'm serious. The slow lane goes faster. Yeah, you try to come down 99 from 120 to Salida. Try to come off to, what is it, 120? Get off 120 and curve around there. And isn't that fun? Yeah. I do better now. I just sit there in the traffic. I'm just going to relax. Got to have Christian radio on, though. See, I can do better sometimes. We can feel trapped. But God always gives a way out. See, I want to challenge you with that this morning. I don't know what's going on. And I know there are people here. You know, I don't know your lives, but we're all bad. We all have fights. We all have issues. We all have battles. We all have struggles. There's things that trap us. And I'm going to tell you something. Satan knows how to get you. What's interesting to me is, you know, you can go to bed tonight and get a good night's rest. And guess what Satan's doing? He's planning your tomorrow. He don't need to sleep. All right? He's worked for tomorrow. It's like, okay, first thing in the morning, alarm's going to go off. What can I do? Oh, I'm going to have the alarm not go off. I'll fix this wagon this morning. Making 10 minutes late. That'd just kill him. Right? Come on. 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late. Come on. Satan's working on you. But see, I want to say there's something more. You got to step out of sin and step into God's love, okay? Does that sound okay? You got to step into grace and God's grace and outage. you got to step out of pressure and stress and step into God's mercy. God always gives the way out. We read a verse earlier. We're going to read that verse and kind of wrap it up with the verse right after it. Found in 1 John chapter 1. So it's like this. To be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Earlier, that word fool was in there. You're only going to fool yourself. But, I'm going to add the but in there. If we confess our sins, He is, what? Circle it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will, what? Circle it. Give us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God gives a way out. I don't care what that battle is. I don't care where that war is. I don't care what's going on in your life. We're all screwed up. I mean, you know, that's the one thing. We're all a mess, okay? If you don't think you're a mess, talk to somebody who knows you well. They'll tell you. All right? I'm serious. I'll give you a good one. You want to talk to your grandkids. They'll tell you everything that's messed up. It's true. That God is faithful. And He'll forgive. God is faithful. And He'll forgive. See, step out of that sin and step into love. Step out of that bondage and step into that grace. Out of the snares of Satan. Step in to the mercy of God. You see it? You don't know you need a Savior until you see your sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But God is a just and righteous God. And we'll forgive you. Don't fall into the trap of this. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. Just don't hurt anybody. That will literally kill you. You hear me? It'll kill your spirit. It'll kill your heart. It will kill your life. It will kill your emotion. It will kill your attitude. It will literally kill you. But the grace of God sets us free. I pray you have that this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are a gracious and merciful God. That you are faithful and that you forgive, that you cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. And as your scripture says, you put our sins as far as the east is from the west, that your grace abounds. Let us not fall into the trap of this world, to the snares of Satan, that says it doesn't matter what you do. But it does. You know, their heads are bowed, their eyes are closed. Like I said, I'm sure, just because of the sheer numbers of people here this morning, that there are some of you, you've been having some long fights and you've been battling some things. And you want to move past. For some of you who feel trapped, that you just feel, I'm trapped. I can't. I can't fight anymore. I can't change. I can't do it anymore. Do you want me to pray for you in those battles? Would you just shoot your hands up? I'm trapped. I'm hurting. I want to change. I don't want to be the same. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, I ask that your grace and mercy would be poured out upon these. These that had the courage to say they're fighting the good fight. That they need your strength. They need your power. They need your mind. So as your children, Lord, you place in their heart the Holy Spirit. And so I ask that your Spirit will strengthen them in this fight. That they'll know the time to fight and they'll know the difference between the time to run. And that you will encourage them and strengthen them. Let them see the way out of the trap. See the way out they can't change. Let the power of the Holy Spirit encourage and strengthen them. Let them feel a fresh touch of your grace, that you set them free. They are free because you have forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.